Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our all-English lecture today, so we are not going to speak one word of any other language in today's program. So let's talk about henna tattoos. Maybe you've been thinking about getting a tattoo recently because they are all the rage. They're quite popular. It seems like every time you turn around, someone's got a big tattoo on their shoulder or on their neck or any other part of their body. Personally, I don't see the attraction. I think they're these big, ugly, green ink stains.
Hey, when you get older and your skin starts wrinkling and sagging, oh, they look bad.
Yeah, but something I might actually consider doing is to get a henna tattoo.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Henna is a kind of bush or a kind of plant that produces pigments that can be used to color your skin. And the nice thing about henna tattoos is that they don't last forever. They will wear off, after a couple of weeks or something like that. Have you ever gotten yourself a henna tattoo or anything like that?
No, I have not. But both Tom and I have a friend we work with, and his wife actually paints henna tattoos. She does
really?
A lot of this. Yeah. It's very popular here.
Okay, well, maybe I will contact that person and
try
some.
That would be Jenna.
Jenna, okay.
Jenna.
Oh, yeah. You're getting some free advertising for her.
They don't know her last name, so they're not going to be able to find her.
Well, in any case, interesting. Henna, Jenna. I wonder if there's
exactly.
Did she pick that name as some kind of a marketing strategy?
No, she did not.
Or something like that.
But isn't that cute?
Interesting coincidence there.
I know.
But, of course, in Taiwan, there are tattoo parlors all over the place. Maybe you can find a henna tattoo parlor somewhere near you. But let's talk about this today. Let's get to it. Let's listen to the entire contents of our lesson, and then we're going to talk about it. A woman opens her palms and watches an artist slowly trace a rich dark red paste in delicate patterns across her skin. Her fingers, hands, and wrists are transformed by flowing ribbons of color used to create intricate designs reminiscent of flowers, natural elements, and stars. This type of body art is called mendi, though the saturated dye is called henna, named after the small tropical shrub the pigment is made from. When leaves from this plant are dried, they can be ground into a paste and create the earthy red coloring used to make the elaborate designs. Mendi can last on various parts of the body for weeks, making it an attractive temporary substitute for pricey and painful permanent tattoos. Applying henna to the hands and feet is a long-standing tradition in various cultures, mainly in the Middle East, Africa, and South Asia. Usually used for celebrations and rites of passage, it is also a notable feature of Hindu weddings. Henna is painted on the bride-to-be to symbolize joy, beauty, and spiritual awakening. The bride-to-be's female relatives gather the day before the ceremony to embellish her hands, wrists, palms, and feet. Even the groom's hands are decorated, particularly for weddings in Rajasthan, India. It's believed that a deeply colored design, specifically on the bride, is a good omen for the new couple. While these beliefs give special importance to the ancient art, henna has become an international trend, particularly in the West. In non-traditional American and European pop culture, people are becoming more and more fascinated with the designs. With its visually ornate patterns, it's clear to see why people across the globe adorn their bodies with the exquisite earthy red hue of henna tattoos.
Well, in today's lesson, we sure don't want to miss the title because we've got two vocabulary words right there in the title. To transform yourself, or something transforms itself, just means it changes completely. It makes a thorough change. It might change its form, it might change its appearance, or maybe even its character. Some people have had their characters transformed once they hooked up or started hanging out with bad friends. I've seen that happen. Or you might want to transform an extra bedroom into a living room, perhaps, or study or a den for dad or the kids to study in. We once transformed a bedroom in our house into a music room, put our piano in there, and we would practice in there. So to transform means to change something completely. Here we're talking about changing yourself with some temporary henna tattoos. Tom talked about tattoos. Those are pictures of some sort that are needled into your skin, and they're permanent. But here we're talking about temporary tattoos. Temporary means just for a short time. You won't have them forever. And henna is the dark ink that comes from a plant.
Exactly. We'll talk about that in just a second here. But here's an example of somebody getting a henna tattoo. A woman opens her palms and watches an artist slowly trace a rich dark red paste in delicate patterns across her skin. So this is what happens if you're getting a henna tattoo. If you are a woman, you open your palms, okay? That's the inner side of your hand, the part that you clap with. Those would be your palms there. Mm. And, of course, I guess the henna tattoo artist is doing something on her palms here. The artist is slowly tracing some rich, dark paste. A paste is kind of like a thick substance. It's not thin enough to be water, but not thick enough to be solid or something. It's somewhere between.
We used paste as kids in school, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us used glue, and some of us had paste, which when I was growing up, they would tell us it was made out of horses' hooves. I don't know
really?
If that's true. But paste, it's kind of thick. It's not a liquid, but it's not a dry powder either. It's kind of a mix, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so they're using this red paste, and they are tracing these delicate patterns across the skin. To trace usually means you kind of draw a line over something else to copy that pattern.
Yeah.
Sometimes you use this rather thin paper that you can see through, and you put it on top of a picture or something, and then you trace it, or you trace the image underneath onto the paper on top to make a copy of that. So you could also use this to describe just the act of drawing on something to create a pattern or something. So this artist is tracing some lines on the skin here in delicate patterns. The word delicate here is kind of tricky. To me, the word delicate means something that is fragile and easily broken. But another definition of the word delicate is that it's very fine in texture, very fine in structure, very detailed, very intricate, like a spider's web. It's strong yet delicate. So you could use it both ways here. Delicate, again, means kind of exquisite, detailed, and also it means fragile and easily broken.
That's right. You actually used a word to describe delicate that we're going to be running into in just a second, intricate. So the next sentence starts out, her fingers, hands, and wrists are transformed by flowing ribbons of color. That sounds pretty. Used to create intricate designs. If it's intricate, it's complicated. It's not just simple that a little kid could do. It probably looks pretty cool. I've seen some of these designs, and they've got a lot of lines going in and out, weaving in and out, you could say. So it's very detailed. It's complicated if it's intricate. And it says it's reminiscent of flowers. If something's reminiscent of something else, it just means it reminds you of something. We could say, oh, their clothes are slightly reminiscent of the traditional clothes in Mongolia. That's just an example.
Yeah, or that tie-dye T-shirt over there is reminiscent of the 1960s, the hippie movement.
Hippie era.
The peace movement and stuff like that. It's reminiscent of that. It's kind of like a retro in a sense, but in any case here, the designs are like flowers. If you look at these designs, they remind you of flowers.
Yeah,
they are
do.
Reminiscent of flowers. Other natural elements, maybe like seashells and stuff like that, and also stars. There are lots of patterns in stars and stuff like that. So, it's kind of making me curious here as to what these things look like.
Yeah, and it's called body art because it really is quite beautiful, and the art happens just to be painted onto a body. So it's called Mendi. It's kind of an interesting-looking word. It's Indian. It's from India. Mm. And it says, though the saturated dye is called henna, named after the small tropical shrub the pigment is made from. So that's where we get henna from. It's actually from a small tropical shrub. A shrub is a tiny tree. It's kind of a bush. You'll often see shrub and bush used interchangeably, I think. So Mendi is what it's called. Now, we've got this word saturated here. Saturated means it's containing as much as possible of something like water, moisture. Here, we're talking about color. So if you have a color that looks saturated, it's not light, it's not pale, it's dark and rich and beautiful. So we've got the pigment that is made from a small tropical shrub. What's pigment mean? Pigment means kind of like a color. We often talk about the pigment of our skin. You know, the pigment of my skin, I've got pretty fair skin. Tom, you're a little darker, but that's because you stay out in the sun. Pigment just means the natural coloring of an animal or plant. So it's a substance we often use for painting. We'll often paint with different pigments.
Yeah, if we take certain kinds of substances from nature and we grind them down and they're used to create color and paint and stuff, those things are called pigments. So, yes, they get this stuff from this shrub called the henna. And, again, the body art itself is called mendi, although the dye and the plant is called henna. In any case here, yes, this is called henna, and it's named after that tropical bush or that tropical shrub that pigment comes from. And here's the process here. When leaves from this plant are dried, they can be ground into a paste to create the earthy red coloring used to make the elaborate designs.
Wow.
So I guess you take the leaves and then you dry them out, just like you do with tea leaves, okay? Except after you dry the leaves of the henna plant out, you will grind them into a paste, okay? Grind is the verb here. To grind something, it just means to take some kind of hard substance and take a smaller, a weaker substance, like a grain or something, and make it into a powder. You can grind wheat into flour, for example.
Oh, I always think of ground beef. You know,
yes.
Hamburgers, right? Well, that patty, that hamburger patty, a patty is that small round shape, that's actually made out of ground beef. So they take a big piece of beef and they put it through a grinder. It's actually called a grinder, and it kind of chops it, minces it up into small pieces. So meat can be ground as well.
It surely can. Lots of things can be ground down into a powder. So here they grind the pigment, at least the henna pigment, or the leaves, I should say. They grind it down into a paste, and then this creates the earthy red coloring used to make these elaborate designs. Earthy means it has something to do with the earth. It's like the earth. Usually it kind of means that somebody is down to earth, kind of mellow, laid back. I was described as a very earthy person when I was in university, which means kind of mellow, kind of relaxed, not really too nervous about things. But in this particular case, it does mean you're kind of close to the earth. It's a red color that resembles things that you see in the earth, like clay and dirt and other things like that.
Yeah, and for designers out there, you'll often see the adjective earthy tones. Earthy tones include colors that you would see naturally. So it would be the browns and the beiges and the dark oranges and the rust colors that you'll sometimes see. Some people look really good in earthy tones, or earth tones. We'll often just leave the Y off that and make it earth tones, earthy tones. I don't. Those tones aren't really good on me. Now, Tom, for example, is wearing an orange shirt today. He looks good in that color.
Really?
So,
it's high-vis orange because I'm riding my bicycle
that's
today.
That's right.
And I want people to be able to see me and not run me over and run over me and kill me.
You are naturally a very tall person. I think they would see you regardless of the color of your shirt.
You never know. You should always, what's the game? It's always too late to be sorry.
No, better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. There we go. Yes. But in any case, back to henna here. Again, it's an earthy red coloring, and they use it to make these elaborate designs. Elaborate is similar to intricate or delicate. These are all describing these patterns here. So elaborate here just means it's highly detailed and kind of complicated, okay? Elaborate, that's the adjective. The verb is to elaborate. That means to give more details about something. Well, you've told us a little bit about your economic plan. Can you elaborate? Can you be more specific about what you want to do to improve the economy? But here it's the adjective. It's elaborate. Elaborate designs, intricate designs, delicate patterns.
Yeah, and the opposite of that, of course, would be more like plain, simple designs, plain designs. If it's an elaborate design, you know that a child probably didn't produce it. It's kind of tough. So Mindy can last on various parts of the body for weeks. If you don't scrub it really hard, it will stay. So it makes it an attractive temporary substitute for pricey. If something's expensive, we'll sometimes say it's pricey. It can be a good substitute for pricey and painful permanent tattoos. I know nowadays you can get tattoos removed through a laser process, but boy, it hurts and it's expensive. Now, a substitute, I often think of school when I see this word, Tom, because when I was in junior high and high school, we often had substitute teachers, or we just call them substitutes. And it's something that is acting or serving in the place of somebody else. So this is kind of something else you can use instead of the permanent ink and those ink pens that are used by permanent tattoo artists.
Right. So if you think, well, yeah, I want something on my skin, I want a tattoo, but they're kind of expensive,
yeah,
and they're permanent, they last forever, I'm going to have it all the way until the day I die. So what if I don't like it later on? What if I regret it later on? So this could be a substitute for that expensive, painful, permanent tattoo.
Now, I could be wrong, but I think the henna tattoos are mostly that dark, burnt orange color, the burnt red.
Yeah, I was looking at some images on Google here before.
Did you see any with different colors?
No, I didn't really. They're all kind of dark colored there.
Because that's the color of henna. Oftentimes, ladies, we'll use henna instead of permanent hair dye because it is temporary, but it lasts pretty long, actually. If you use that henna dye, and I know people, and the ladies in Taiwan like that reddish-brown color.
They seem to like that. Okay.
So henna is a perfect substitute for permanent hair dye. It's not as harsh on your hair, ladies, and it will keep your hair looking pretty longer.
Well, I don't think you need to tell the ladies here that they pretty much know
pretty,
all these
they?
Things. Yeah, they know all these things
maybe
about
beauty.
Maybe
the younger ones don't yet.
Yeah, maybe the younger ones under 5 years old don't quite know about
it yet.
But in any case here, yes, indeed, this is one particular substitute, an alternative that you can consider if you don't want to get a regular tattoo.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Well, let's move on now to the next paragraph. It says here, applying henna to the hands and feet is a long-standing tradition in various cultures, and these cultures are mainly in the Middle East, in Africa, and in South Asia. South Asia usually refers to India. Applying henna just means putting it on, so people who put this on their hands and feet, this is a tradition or a long-standing tradition.
Right.
Long-standing means it's been around for quite some time, for many, many centuries.
So usually it is used for celebrations. A celebration is some sort of, it could be a party. I always think of a celebration as kind of a party. You've got something that you want to remember or just mark the occasion by doing something like having a birthday party, an anniversary celebration. We do things like that. We invite our loved ones, our friends over, and we either eat together. I guess that's my favorite part of celebrating is eating.
Yeah.
So they do these henna tattoos for celebration and rites of passage. Rites of passage refers to periods of our lives where we move from one stage to the next. I always think of rites of passage as being like a young lady turning into a woman. So going from girl to a woman, a rite of passage could be a wedding. And I've actually had one of these henna tattoos. I had a coworker who was from India. We worked together in New York City. And when she got married, she invited all of her best friends from work to come. And she painted henna tattoos on us for the wedding, which was really fun. fun.
And how long did they last?
Well, she used a tanner that wasn't so bad, but it did last 2 weeks for me.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's something to consider if you want that, if you're going to have a rite of passage like a quinceañera in Mexican culture.
That's when little girls turn 16. Yeah.
Or a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah if you're Jewish, and a birth or a wedding. Even sometimes a rite of passage could be when somebody dies. They're passing on to the next life or whatever. So, but here we're talking about this being a notable feature of Hindu weddings.
Yeah.
I assume your friend was having a Hindu wedding.
She was.
Hindu is the religion of India, and henna is painted on the bride-to-be to symbolize joy, beauty, and spiritual awakening. Okay, so they don't just paint this on the bride-to-be for any reason. The bride-to-be means she's about to be the bride. She's not married yet, but she's going to be there. And the henna is supposed to be happy. It symbolizes joy. Also beauty. You got to look good. And also spiritual awakening. Spiritual usually has to do with your soul, religion, stuff like that. Hinduism in this particular case.
Right. So the bride-to-be's female relatives, those are her cousins or female cousins or aunts, grandma, people like that, they gather the day before the ceremony because it takes a while to put these intricate designs on. They gather to embellish her hands, wrists, palms, and feet. Now, for me, when I was at the wedding, they just did some henna designs on her hands, so it wasn't a big deal. And then we had a jewel put in the middle of our forehead, which was pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But the ceremony, of course, is related to the rite of passage. A ceremony is a formal religious or public occasion where you're celebrating some event that's special. Here, of course, we're talking about the wedding ceremony. And if you embellish something, I guess you dress it up, you decorate it, you make it more attractive by doing something. We often use embellish, though, to talk about figuratively. You can embellish a story. Have you ever listened to someone tell a story and they put extra details in it and you start thinking, huh, is all of this true?
Hmm.
Maybe they embellished the story or exaggerated the story.
Yeah, I do that oftentimes when I tell people about how my brother's cat died. It did die in front of us, but I added some other details.
To make it more exciting.
To make it more interesting and stuff like that. But I don't have time to tell that story right now. Maybe sometime in the future when we talk about the deaths of our pets. But in any case, yes, these are done before the ceremony to embellish the hands of the relatives and the bride-to-be and the palms and the feet and stuff like that. And even the groom's hands are decorated, particularly for weddings in Rajasthan, which I guess is an area of India. I was going to say, yeah, why do the girls get all these designs? The guys should get some too. So the groom, of course, is the man who's getting married, and he gets decorated too, especially in the region of Rajasthan.
Yeah.
In India. And it goes on here to say, it is believed that a deeply colored design specifically on the bride is a good omen for the new couple. Now, of course, here we're talking about an omen.
Uh-huh.
That just means a really good sign. It could be a bad sign,
too. No, it's just a sign.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It could be good or bad, so be careful. You have to say a good omen or a bad omen, right?
That's right. So if you're standing next to a wall and suddenly a crow lands on top of it, you might say, ooh, that might be a bad omen. Something bad might happen to me in the future.
Yeah, it's like a sign that you're either going to have good fortune or bad fortune. Hopefully you have some good luck, right?
I
always think of The Omen as that scary movie when we were kids about the little boy who was actually a little Satan's helper or something.
Three sixes, yeah, the number of the devil.
I never saw it, but it looks scary. It was called The Omen. We recommend it if you like scary movies.
Yeah, if you like scary movies, check it out. Or Poltergeist, that's supposed to be a really scary one too, but... Hey, we're not supposed to be talking about scary movies. We're talking about fun, happy things of joy and a wonderful future together. So all of these things, the deeply colored design on the bride's hands, specifically on the bride. On the groom too, but more especially or specifically for the bride. It is a good omen.
Yeah, at the wedding I attended, the bride also had some henna drawings. So he looked very festive, you could say. He looked like he was ready to celebrate.
He was a happy boy.
Yeah. My male coworkers weren't really excited about getting henna painted on them, though.
Oh.
So they didn't participate, but most of the girls did. We thought it was fun. So while these beliefs give special importance to the ancient art, henna has become an international trend. A trend is when a lot of people start doing the same thing or liking the same thing. Something becomes very popular for a short time. That's a trend. And it's becoming a trend in the West. Yeah, I've seen this in the West. The henna tattoos. Tattoos in general have really increased in popularity in the last 15 years. It's crazy.
Mm.
And instead of getting permanent tattoos or paying a lot of money, it's not cheap to get a tattoo. And it's painful. Let's not forget it's painful. You might want to try this instead. And that's what a lot of Westerners are doing. They're trying it out. Do they want to see if they like it? If they really like their henna tattoo, they might go ahead and do the real thing.
Okay. And also we're talking about non-traditional American and European pop culture. In those places, people are becoming more and more fascinated with the designs. They think it's really, really cool. So this, of course, is non-traditional culture. Okay, I have kind of an issue with that. But if we talk about traditional culture, we talk about like the culture of indigenous people, of tribal groups and stuff like that. So they're non-traditional. Yeah, modern culture, I kind of think that's kind of traditional in its own way.
Subculture. I think they're meaning traditional American culture, not as the Native Americans, Tom. I think they're talking about just good old-fashioned today Americans, what we like to do.
Wearing T-shirts and shorts and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
but there are little groups or subgroups. We call it subculture, and they do their own thing, like the Goths, G-O-T-H. They like vampires and stuff. We're talking about smaller groups in America and Europe that really are becoming fascinated with the designs. Our friend Jenna, who does these henna designs, actually has gotten more and more interest from people here in Taiwan wanting these drawn on them.
Yeah, I was going to say this is probably not the first time most of our listeners have heard about this.
Right.
But in any case, people are getting more fascinated with the designs. And with its visually ornate patterns, it's clear to see why people across the globe adorn their bodies with the exquisite earthy red hue of henna tattoos. My goodness, we've got all sorts of words to describe these tattoos. They are ornate, which means
elaborate.
Intricate.
We're going back to those words that we keep using. They're very similar.
Indeed. And also we've got the word exquisite, which is similar, highly detailed, high class kind of stuff. To adorn just means to decorate yourself. You could adorn your apartment or something, but we usually use the word adorn to talk about the body.
Yeah, especially with females. You know, with women, we want to adorn ourselves, maybe have a pretty hat, fix up our hair, stuff like that. So we want to see where this trend's going to go. I'm curious to see if it's going to become more and more popular and maybe replace those permanent tattoos that you have a hard time getting them off if you get them.
So, I just kind of wish a henna had a few lighter colors like yellow, blue, green, and stuff like that. They all seem like these dark colors, but still, it's something to consider. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. No Chinese teacher today. We'll skip the Chinese teacher.
We're just going to say goodbye,
We'll
Tom.
Just say goodbye.
Sorry.
The Chinese teacher will join us again in the future. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.